How are we doing this morning? Good? Awesome. All right, let me get that adjusted real quick. Okay. All right. So we're going to get started. Go ahead and get in your Bibles, your journals, because we got some things to study this morning. So we're excited because we are starting a brand new series, as you saw on that screen, entitled Enough is Enough. Okay? And so leading up to Christmas, I know the temptation in this Christmas season is to prioritize the wrong things. And it's because our culture will market this idea that you need more stuff, that you never have enough, which we know is a lie, truly. But it's telling you that you need more things, or you need to buy more things or have more things. And what we know to be true as followers of Jesus is that we have more than enough in Christ Jesus. That we don't have to go find more things because we have everything that we need in Christ. And so the temptation can be when you look for things that you need, you can neglect what you already have. And so we're going to be talking in this series, these couple of weeks leading up to Christmas, is what we already have in Christ. And so before we do that, and I talk about this first topic, I want to share with you guys one of the craziest stories that I've ever read. I read it a few years ago. It happened in 2007 to a guy in New York. And he one day, one weekend, decided, hey, I'm going to go out. And I'm going to go just look at, see if I can find a deal at a garage sale. And so he goes out, he goes to different garage sales in his neighborhood, and he eventually stumbles upon this one garage sale that was selling just a bunch of plates and old fine china and silverware and just different items that he thought were cool. And so he rummaged through all this different stuff, and he came across one of this small bowl, kind of looked like a cereal bowl. Here it is, you can see it. And he thought it looked really unique, and so he's like, hey, how much does this cost? He eventually bought it for $3, kind of said, hey, I'm going to throw this up on my mantle as decoration. It'll be great. And so after a few years, he kind of just left it on his mantle, honestly. It had just pistachios and M&Ms and was just collecting dust on his mantle. And every day he would look at the bowl and just say, hey, there's got to be a story behind this. And so he actually took it in to go get it examined, and he found out that this bowl was actually one of the rarest artifacts in all of the world. There's only two of these that exist, and the other one exists in a British museum and has been there for over 60 years. And I'm about to tell you how much this bowl costs, and you're not going to believe me, but I promise it's real. He found out that this bowl that he bought for $3 actually was worth $2.2 million. I'm being dead serious. This is a real story. That what he bought for $3, people, he ended up becoming a millionaire overnight because he just went to a garage sale and found this small bowl that he thought was worth nothing. That's crazy. That is crazy. And so I share that, I start there because we're going to be talking about something today that we can easily overlook the value of. And when we know the value of something, it changes how we experience it. It changes how we handle it. And so what we're going to be talking about this morning is the value of time. Time. Because we believe, or what we know to be true, what we can tend to overlook, is that time is the most valuable thing that we have. And let me tell you why. Because time is the one thing that you cannot have back. Like you can buy more stuff, that you can't, you can buy a house and or lose a house and get it back. You can fail a test and retake it, but you can't buy more time. That you can't extend your time, you can't have time back. Time is always moving forward. And it's the one thing that you cannot have back. That's why it's so important for us to understand the value of our time, that we can't overlook how valuable it is. And the Bible speaks about this, and we're going to be focusing on three verses in Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. That's in your New Testament. You have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and then you have Ephesians. And Ephesians is six chapters. The first three chapters describe doctrine and talk about Jesus and who he is and explain to you the message of Jesus. And in the last three chapters, it explains to you application. How do you live in light of what you know to be true? And we're going to be in chapter 5, specifically in verses 15 and 17, talking about the value of time. And before I read this, I want to read to you a quote that I think explains what I'm talking about or where I'm going. It's by a man named A.W. Tozer. He says, "Time is a resource that is non-renewable, non-transferable. You cannot store it, you cannot slow it up, you cannot hold up, divide it up, or give it up. You can't save it for a rainy day. When it's lost, it's unrecoverable. When you kill time, remember that it has no resurrection." Basically, he's saying that you can't make up for lost time. It's so valuable. And I read a couple statistics the other day about the way we spend our time. And this is going to shock you, but here's what it says. You will spend 26 years of your life sleeping. That's crazy. For some of you guys, it's like 40 years. I know you guys sleep a lot. 7 years of your life trying to go to sleep. 11 years of your life in front of a screen. And 4 years and 6 months of your life eating food. That's how much time you spend doing those things. Literally 26 years of your life, you are sleeping. So you are spending your time in a lot of different things. And this morning, I want to talk about how you can spend your time on the right things. And so follow along with me in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 17. We're only going to have two quick takeaways from these few verses. Here's what it says. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And so we can see two quick takeaways from this passage. We're going to see two things that you guys can do with your time. You can waste your time, or you can invest your time. You can waste your time, or you can invest your time. And so he says it in the first verse, verse 15, he says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." He shows us how we waste our time right here, which is my first point. How we waste our time. How we waste our time. And so he says it in that verse that I just read. He's basically saying, consider your ways. Look carefully how you walk. Look back on your past week and evaluate how you spent your time. And this is going to be a convicting question, but I want you all to answer this to yourself, is when I look back on the last week of my life, what did I spend the majority of my time doing? Just think about that to yourself. Think about, do I know what I spent the majority of my time on? And Paul is going to challenge us to say, hey, you need to evaluate the way that you treat time, the way that you live, because you can either waste it or you can invest it. And he gives this picture of a soldier who's basically walking through a minefield. And a soldier would be really careful and really intentional with the way they stepped. They wouldn't be thoughtless. That they would be very thoughtful because they know that the field around them is dangerous. In the same way, Paul's saying, hey, the world around you is dangerous. Be careful with how you walk. Be careful with the way that you spend your time. And so this past week, I want you to ask yourself, hey, did I spend time knowing more about God? Did I spend time serving somebody other than myself? Did I spend time fighting a temptation in my life with the power of God's word? Can you say that? Can you say that? And Paul's challenging us to think about how we do that, how we walk. Is it wise or is it unwise? And so in this passage, I want to pull two quick takeaways from how I believe that we waste our time. Two subpoints from how we waste our time. The first one is I believe that we overlook the owner of our time. That we're not sure, or we don't actually focus on who ultimately owns our time. We just went dark. I love it. So you're focused. I got your attention, please. All right. So we overlook the owner of our time. That every day, guys, every day that you guys are on earth is a gift from God. He truly owns your time. If I could tell anything to my middle school self, I would say, realize the miracle. I look at myself in the face and say, hey, realize the miracle of being alive. That every day, right now, the fact that you're in this room is a gift from God. He's chosen to give you time for a reason and for a purpose. That's crazy, and it's not promised. We're living on borrowed time. It's from God. He's given us this gift. Psalm 24:1 just says, The earth is the Lord's. Everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. Another way I'd say it is the earth is the Lord's and the time you have in it. And so when I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking about just the illustration of this holiday season. And what we know is that a lot of packages are being delivered. Amazon, FedEx, UPS, a lot of people will drive packages or order things and get them delivered to their house. And what happens is this increase of delivery, usually delivery drivers don't treat the packages with the most care and value that they need to be treated with. And so I ran across this video the other day. I wanted to show you just how bad it can be for delivery drivers when they have your packages. So take a look. I mean, pretty remarkable. That's like cringeworthy. I love one guy just straight up just punts it. Another guy straight up just like bowls it. And the other guy, which is just, I mean, I don't know what he's thinking, but he throws a TV over the fence. Like it just, I think it actually does break. That was on the news. But he just throws it like it has no value. It's just, it's cringeworthy to watch because you're like, those things are valuable. Why would you ever damage them, right? And so I know that's a funny kind of illustration, but it does kind of explain where I'm going. And what Paul is saying is that we need to value this gift that God has given us, that he's given us this time for a specific amount of time to treat with value, to protect it, to not damage it, to not rush through it, to not waste it, to not throw it away, to not kick it away, to not roll it away, but to value it. To value it. Be intentional. Walk with wisdom. Walk in a way that honors the Lord. So we overlook the owner of our time. It's how we waste time. The second thing as we move through is we overestimate the amount of time that we have. Not only do we overlook that God has given us this time, is that when we waste time, we also overestimate the amount of time that we have. And I believe the greatest way that we do this is through procrastination. Do I have anyone who's procrastinated before who does that? None of you guys? Yeah, some of you guys, procrastinators, fellow procrastinators. I know I can be tempted to procrastinate. And so the procrastinator's favorite word is one word. It's tomorrow. Right? You guys love that word. As soon as your parents ask you to do something, you're like, what do you say? Hey, I'll do it tomorrow. Right? Right? I'll worry about it tomorrow. I can delay it. I can put it off. As long as I do it tomorrow, I don't have to do it today. And what you're saying in that moment is you're just saying, hey, time isn't really that valuable to me. Or I have so much time in the world, I can just put it off until the last minute. And what happens is those responsibilities build and they get worse and worse and harder to manage because we put things off until the last minute. And it's costly. It's costly. The reason it's costly because it could start maybe with a small task like our homework or a chore or something else, and then it can grow into moving towards procrastination in our own relationship with the Lord. Where instead of taking the Lord seriously now, we put him off until, hey, maybe college, or maybe when we're adult, or maybe, hey, when we get more mature, we'll start taking our relationship with the Lord seriously. We can procrastinate our relationship with the Lord. And James in the New Testament speaks about this word tomorrow. And he basically says that the enemy's favorite word is tomorrow. That's one of my points, is that the enemy's favorite word is tomorrow. That he doesn't necessarily have to force you to stop reading your Bible or force you to stop hanging out with godly people or force you to stop praying. All he has to do is say, hey, I'll do it tomorrow. You can have the greatest intentions in the world to really memorize all the scripture and to meditate on God's promises. But as long as you say, I'll do it tomorrow, you don't actually do it. You don't actually do it. That intentions don't actually put things into practice. That's why New Year's resolutions usually fail, because people have the greatest intentions and they don't actually carry them out. The enemy's favorite word, if he can convince you to do it tomorrow, then he can convince you to put it off and not actually take responsibility. And here's what it says in James 4. It just says, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist, focus on that, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So what is James saying? James is saying that your life is a mist. Literally, he's saying this. You guys paying attention? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, infancy till death, here's your life. Literally. You see that? I went fast. It's crazy. Let me go again. He says, infancy to death, here is your life. It's a mist. Literally, he's trying to communicate your time is limited. This is actually a wrinkle release spray, so it smells pretty good. But he's saying that your time is that short. Literally. Everyone watch. He's saying, here today, gone tomorrow. And I think the temptation is to not believe our life is a mist, but to see our life more like, pay attention, our life more like a waterfall. Like we're looking at Niagara Falls and we're like, man, this is our life. It's endless. It never stops moving. We have all the time in the world. We'll put off the things that we have to do or the responsibilities that we have until tomorrow because we have all the time in the world. The temptation is to believe you have all the time. In reality, James is saying, hey, your life is a mist. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. Value it. Because when you understand that things are limited, you are more likely to value them. In Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses says a prayer that's really powerful. He says, Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me to number my days. What he's saying is, help me to count how many days that I have. Or basically, help me to realize that life is short. Because when you realize something's limited, you're more likely to value it. Let me give you an example. COVID, toilet paper. Guys, there was a limited amount of toilet paper for whatever reason, but everyone went crazy and toilet paper prices skyrocketed. Why? Because when there's something that's limited, it creates more value. Toilet paper prices actually, I think, rose like 10 times the actual amount. It's because when there's a small amount of something, what do? We value, increases the value of it. And so here's what Moses is saying in this passage. He's saying, hey, that when you measure your time, you maximize your time. You're taking notes. That when you measure that your time is limited, that your time is limited on earth, that you're more likely to maximize your time. You're more likely to value it. You're more likely to treat every opportunity as an opportunity to honor Christ. You're more likely to take your relationship with the Lord seriously now. You're more likely to not procrastinate, but do things today because you know your life is short. It's limited. And that's great because we can value it more. And so as we close, I want to talk about not only how we waste our time, but more importantly, how we invest our time. What are the things we need to focus on? What are the things we need to spend our time doing? And here's what he says in verses 16 and 17. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, what I just read, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And what he is saying right here is, hey, if I spent the next 5 hours with you guys and I followed you around, I could see very quickly what you valued, what you treasured. He's saying the way you spend your time shows you what you actually treasure. So think about what you are doing, and then I'll tell you what you're actually treasuring. And he uses the phrase, make the most of your time. And the word here, the word picture he's giving is like redeem your time, meaning purchase your time. That's where he gets the phrase, time is money. And I don't know much about investment, but I do know you want to invest in things that have a return. That's why your parents or your friends, or you've probably seen on TV, the best way to make an investment is you put it away for a long period of time, and so it grows interest, and immediately it compounds and creates more money. You put it into a savings account so you get more of a return. That's a wise use of your investment, to invest in things that have a return. And Paul is saying invest in things that have a return because the days are evil. You don't gravitate towards wanting to do this. You have to be thoughtful, intentional with the way that you walk. Walk wisely because the days are evil. Matthew 6:19 just says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So Jesus is saying in this passage, you will have a storehouse of treasures in heaven. And it makes zero sense to store things on earth because you're storing things in a place that you're not actually going. The things that you're storing are temporary. You want to store things in a place that you're actually going. So he's saying store up treasures in a place that you're going to live for eternity, that you get to experience and enjoy forever. And so a picture I'd give here is like, hey, the way that you serve people, the way that you think you're going unnoticed by the way that you sacrifice for others and the way you spend time with God, the thing that you think is going unnoticed is actually noticed by God. And you're storing up treasures eventually to enjoy in eternity. Here's what he says, Jesus says in the back half of this passage. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So he's telling us what we need to do with our time. He's basically saying, treat the most important things as your first priority. Seek first the kingdom of God. That should be every day we wake up with an understanding and reality that we need to seek first the things of God. And here's what I want you to understand is that there is never enough time to do everything, but there is always enough time to do important things. There's never enough time to do everything, but there's always enough time to do important things. Because it would be tragic. It would be tragic if we stood before God one day and we stood before his majesty and glory and splendor and we just all we had to talk about was the amount of time we spent on our phone or the amount of time we spent playing video games or the amount of time we spent on Netflix or the amount of time we did things that were just wasteful. Like we would want to stand before God and be proud of the way that we spent our time, right? 2 Corinthians 5:10 just says, for we must stand before Christ to be judged. Ultimately, we're going to stand before Christ one day and give an account of the way that we spent our time. And I remember in elementary school, I would go, one of the best things about elementary school is this thing called show and tell. Did anyone do that in elementary school? I don't know if they still do that anymore, right? And our teacher would give us this brown paper bag. She'd give this brown paper bag, and she'd say, hey, fill it with things that you're proud of, and then come to class and share with everyone what you're proud of. And so I'd fill this bag with, like, trophies, like a picture of my dog, like a coin collection, just the randomest stuff that wasn't that cool. And then I'd get up in front of the class, and I would just talk for literally, if I could go on for hours, I just wanted to talk and talk about things that I was proud of, right? Because I wanted people to see, hey, here's what I spent my time doing, right? And in the same way, like, we are going to stand before God one day and share about the way that we spent our time. And so that's a challenging question to ask, is as you stand before God, have you wisely spent your time? Have you spent your time in a way that would honor him? I'm not necessarily saying that all those things are bad and watching college football is a terrible waste of time and doing these things are a terrible waste of time, but we should prioritize first things first. The way that we honor Christ, the way we serve him, the way we spend time getting to know him. Because those are the things that are actually valuable in our life. And so I started with flipping this timer over. And I'm going to close with talking about it because everyone knows what this is. It's a sand timer. And it's a powerful symbol because here's what the sand timer illustrates, is that everything on the top is time that we haven't spent yet. And everything on the bottom is time that we have spent. And the only thing we have control over is this time in the middle. Truly, the time that is now. That's what James 4 talks about, is that you can't focus on tomorrow. Focus on what you have today. Don't look towards tomorrow. Your life is short. And this is the time we've already spent. And I can't flip it over. I can't change the time. I can't get time back. I can't buy more of it. I can't rent more of it. I can't extend more of it. I can't redo. Time is valuable. Because it's the one thing that you can't have back. And so my question as we close, I'm going to pray, is how are you spending your time? In this holiday season, we have opportunities to spend our time wisely. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are the ultimate giver of every good gift and that you've given us the gift of time to steward well. I pray we'd make the best use of it by honoring you in every way. And when we get it wrong, it's okay, but we would steer back towards seeking first the kingdom of God and your righteousness because we know that's the most value. We know that's a return that will lead to eternity in you. Well, we love you. In the name we pray.